Good morning and welcome. It's time now for City Talk. We've got Mike Bailey and the whole gang in here. Well, not the whole gang, most of the gang in here today. As many as we can fit.
Yeah, that's it. As many as I need. That's the case.
We got Lisa and Terry in here. So let's get down to business. First of all, good weekend, I guess. But how are things shaking?
Well, it wasn't a bad weekend, except the only problem is we keep having rain. And, of course, it's raining again today, which is playing havoc with the projects that we've got going on.
Oh, yeah.
And in particular, in the downtown area, we're trying to coordinate, Terry, how many?
Two, three
projects. And ultimately, that will culminate with a mill and overlay of all the downtown streets, which is really what we're trying to get to. But it's the last thing that we're doing. We've got, of course, the Tower Center that's been under construction for quite a while. And
seeing things popping out of the ground looks pretty good.
Yeah, it's starting to kind of come together. Terry, what is the anticipated completion date on the Tower Center now?
Well, they are probably looking at mid to late April, the way the weather's trending. I think they're shooting for the end of March, and that's what they're pushing for. But when it rain and it's cool, and the moisture just doesn't leave very quickly. So I think realistically we're looking sometime in April.
And I think we've lost about a third of our work days on that project. Is that right?
We've lost at least a third.
At least a third. So not about a third, actually more than a third. But anyway, that project will be completed, and it has come a long way, and we're looking forward to that. The other one that is going on in downtown, we have we got a downtown drainage project, which actually started before the Tower Center. We had to do a portion of it that lies underneath the Tower Center project, and that part has been completed. We've now moved on into the streets, so downtown is a little torn up right now, which is, I realize it's inconvenient, but it is a good thing. It's always a sign of progress, and so I would encourage everybody, if you're just driving through downtown, to avoid the 4th and Osage intersection. There is quite a mess. We've got the entire intersection torn up, and then going north, back down Osage, and that is related to that big drainage project. That will continue south. I think we're expecting that the lanes that are closed on Osage in the 4th Street area, that those will be open probably early next month. But once those are open, then of course we'll be closing more lanes as we continue to move south on that. So that project will continue to progress. I think once we have the Tower Center done and we have the downtown drainage project done, that's what we're really trying to coordinate to have the mill and overlay done on downtown streets. And once that's completed, man, downtown will be in really great shape.
Oh, yeah.
And there will be continued progress as well on the downtown landscaping project. Some of that is already funded. In fact, I think it's the area along Frank Phillips will be getting some work here pretty quickly. And then in the next election, which we'll talk about here in a little bit, and there's some funding for some additional continuation of the renovation of the landscaping downtown. So, talking about projects, we also have, and this is a very popular project. We get a lot of questions about the Civitan Shade Structure. I think it was in the spring of last year we had a big storm come through, and the storm actually tore that. It's a, I guess, canvas or cloth structure. Destroyed that to where it couldn't be reassembled. So the council actually put money in for this fiscal year's budget, and that we were just notified by the manufacturer that the fabric was set to ship last week. So hopefully that should be here quickly, and we'll update everybody as we make progress on that. And then I will tell you what, we're talking about questions. Probably the number one question that we get is when the city of Bartlesville is going to do something with Adams west of Highway 75. And so I always like to take a moment and explain that is actually a state highway. And so there are probably, Terry, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, there's three major highways. It's two major and one smaller highway that comes through the city of Bartlesville. And one of them everybody's aware of, and that's US 75. Of course, it runs north-south and bisects our town. US 60 is the other one. And US 60 comes in from Nowata on Nowata Road, and comes all the way over to 75. But then Adams Boulevard west of 75 all the way out to the research center, that is also a US highway. So the good news is that the state does have several projects planned for our area, including in, this is the federal fiscal year. I think the federal fiscal year, Terry, does that start in October 1?
Yeah.
So federal fiscal year 2021, ODOT has scheduled US 75, and that should start at the 2400 road, and it extends north all the way to Frank Phillips Boulevard. So here in the next year or two, we should start to see some progress made on that, which that is a big project. And of course, the US 75 south of town is in need of some work. So that'll be a welcome project coming up. And this is all information that's provided on the Oklahoma Department of Transportation's 8-year plan. So on the 8-year plan, there are several projects that affect Bartlesville. One of them is a turn lane on Highway 75, and this is a right-hand turn lane into Eastland. This is actually a partnership between the city and the state, and they anticipate letting bids for that in August of 2020. So that one's coming up pretty quick. I'm not sure how soon after that they'll start construction. Again, these aren't city projects. These are just ones that the state makes us aware of. But probably the two biggest ones outside of Highway 75 is that there will be a rehab of the overpass, and this is the Adams Boulevard and Highway 75 overpass. That'll be a reconstruction and rehab of that, and that is federal fiscal year 2023. And then the one that we were just talking about, this is a widening and resurfacing of US 60, which is Adams Boulevard from Highway 75 to Highway 123, and that's scheduled. Now, unfortunately, this one's out there a ways. This one's scheduled for federal fiscal year 2025, so just want to let everybody know that those are on the books. We've got a lot of state road work scheduled here in the next, I'd say that's probably about 7-8 years that they've got those scheduled out there. So that's the good news, but we will have to be patient in the meantime. And the maintenance of those roads is also ODOT's responsibility. If you do call the city because there's a pothole or something, we coordinate with the state, and we also provide them with some assistance on some of those things. Our crews are here, so if it's an emergency, we'll step in and try to address that. But those are all coming up, all great projects, and again, we look forward to having that done. In fact, I think that will take care of almost every highway in Bartlesville, with the exception of 123, which is Hensley. It does not appear from what we see on here that the state has any plans at this time to address Hensley. And we realize the condition of that road, but again, it's a state highway, so it is out of our control. We've had some conversations with them about some options, but at this point in time, there actually is no plan. So, and with that, I wanted to take just a moment before we actually get into the meat of the program and congratulate Mike Birch. Mike Birch was named to Battalion Chief of the Bartlesville Fire Department. This is a position that was vacated by the retirement of Mike Remington. So there's actually two congratulations that go out here. Congratulate Mike on his retirement as he moves into this next phase of his life. And then congratulate Mike Birch. Mike started his career with the city of Bartlesville as a firefighter in April of 1987. So he's been around for a long time. In fact, he has been with the department for 33 years and has served as a captain for almost 14 years. So this is a very experienced firefighter that'll be moving into a critical role. If you're not sure what a battalion chief is, for 24 hours at a time, they are essentially in charge of the operations of the fire department. So there's only one of them on at a time. And so we have three battalion chiefs, and Mike is, we're glad to say that Mike Birch has been elevated to one of those. So, with those things out of the way, we'll spend the rest of the program today. As you said, I've got Terry Lauritsen and Lisa Beeman here with me. We wanted to talk about an upcoming election. The election will be on April 7th of this year. And this is an election that will actually renew two existing programs in the city of Bartlesville. One of them is a general obligation bond, and one of them is a capital improvement sales tax. And so, the general obligation bond, this will be for a 3-year term and generates about $16.4 million worth of projects. The capital improvement sales tax will be for 5 years and it will generate about $13.7 million in projects. So between the two of these, this is over $30 million worth of projects in the city of Bartlesville. Again, these are renewals of existing programs that won't raise taxes. Just so that everybody is prepared when they get to the booth on April 7th, there'll be five propositions, and that's just the way the law is laid out. So for the GO bond, there'll be four propositions. And for the CIP sales tax, it all fits on one proposition. So there'll be five different questions that people will be asked to vote yes or no on. This has been quite a planning process, I'll tell you. I don't think we've ever spent quite as much time gathering input and planning for an election as we did for this one. This started back in September of 2019, formally. It actually started well before that, but formally it started in September of 2019. So if you have an interest in this, I would invite you all to tune in to the next three city radio programs. Today will be the first one. We're going to talk about parks and recreation today, and then Terry's going to talk a little bit about the buildings and equipment that are included in that. Then the next one, we'll be talking about the public safety programs and IT projects that are in there, and then we'll finish up right before the election talking streets, bridges, and drainage. So for today, again, this will be about two of the questions, with parks and recreation will be one proposition for the GO bond, and then the general buildings and equipment will be another proposition, and then there'll also be some of these projects that Terry and Lisa are going to talk about will be included in the CIP sales tax as well. So with that, I'm going to kick this over to Terry, who's going to talk about the our general buildings and equipment that are included in the election.
All right. Thank you, Mike. So kind of the theme of this, both of these extensions, is kind of a renewal. So the majority of the projects are really renewing and refreshing either existing buildings, equipment, what have you, that we currently have that are really at the end of their useful life. So on the general obligation bond issue, that is roughly going to be about $1 million. And so the buildings and the equipment that's going to be impacted by those particular items is going to be at City Hall. We're going to replace windows, single-pane windows that are roughly 60 years old. At operations, we're looking to add an equipment shed to house all the equipment that normally sits out in the sun and out in the elements. The library, which was built in the early 90s, we're looking at replacing the chiller, roof repairs, as well as the replacement of the skylight that are all original to the building and in need of various upgrades and refreshments with it. And then we're looking at replacing the boiler for City Hall as well. Again, that's a 50-plus-year-old type of component within the building, and it's just at the end of its useful life and needs to be replaced. And so those are the projects that we consider a 70% project. And kind of to back up a little bit, state law requires on the general obligation bond side that we have to list 70% of the projects that are on that particular proposition or question within the ballot. So if voters approve that question, then those are the projects that we have to do by state law. And so we list those projects out, and so the voters know on the general obligation side which projects are on which category. And then council does go ahead and budgets money for all projects. So they, assuming that the 70% projects come in as anticipated, they go ahead and basically prioritize projects for the remainder of the funds. So in the buildings and equipment side of that, the balance of the funds, if those equipment and facility upgrades go as planned, would be to buy equipment for streets, parks, and for stripers, mowers, and those types of facilities. So that's on the general obligation bond side of it. So then on the sales tax side, we have, again, it's just a renewal, refreshment of what we currently have. But the general fund has roughly about 30, 40 vehicles that are what we call small type vehicles, who are one-ton trucks, three-quarter-ton trucks, SUVs, and less. And so we are starting a program to replace those on a roughly an 8 to 9 year cycle. And that is going to be one of the questions, or that's going to be within the sales tax portion of it. So that's putting us on basically a program to replace these small utility-type vehicles once every 8 to 9 years. And so that has a benefit for the operation, for breakdowns, for resale values of the vehicle. So that's starting that program. And then we're redoing the City Hall roof. As well as we're having equipment mowers for the various departments, primarily parks, the golf course, to replace existing tractors, mowers, brush hogs, those types of things. We are looking at replacing the community center's speaker and security systems, so their facility will benefit from the sales tax, as well as City Hall to replace the cooling tower. Again, this is a 30-plus-year-old cooling tower And then the carpet replacement there at City Hall as well. So those are really the projects in the municipal buildings and equipment from both the general legation and the sales tax side of it. And then we'll bat it back to you, Mike.
And Terry, you made a good point that, again, there's some of this is just a nuance of law. And state law requires that you list 70% of the projects, or really state law says that you have to state how you're going to spend 70% of the money that you're asking for in a general obligation bond. Now, the city of Bartlesville lists 100% of the money. We're only bound by law to complete those projects that you've laid out that are designated as 70% projects. But in the time that you've been here, and you predate me by a little bit, have we always completed both the 70 and 30% projects, to your knowledge?
We have. There's been times where the 70% projects did go over what was budgeted, so the 30% projects were smaller, but we always ended up doing both projects with the 30%. The three times that I can remember were just a smaller version of the project than initially we had proposed.
And that's by memory as well, is that we go above and beyond what's required in law. So the law is pretty simple in that if you're asking for $1 million, you have to tell the voters what you're going to do with $700,000 worth of that. But in our case, if we're asking for $1 million, we always tell them what we're going to do with that $1 million. Now, obviously, over a period of time, and in this case, the GO bond will be about 3 years, the CIP sales tax will be for about 5 years, the prices can change and things of that nature, so we do have to be flexible, but I can't think of a time that the city of Bartlesville has not completed every project that was included on a list that was taken to the voters, and I think that that's a good track record and one that we intend to continue. So, all right, well, I appreciate that, Terry. I also should say that the city staff is out talking to groups. We have several of them scheduled. We'll be scheduling some more. If you have an interest in it, you can reach out to the city of Bartlesville at 338-4282. If you have a group or a civic club or a neighborhood association or anybody who's interested in hearing more about this, we're more than willing to come out and speak with these groups. I think it's important that we inform the voters of Bartlesville about exactly what this money is being used for and the city's track record on it. All right. Well, thank you, Terry. I appreciate that. Terry is also the one that was, I wish you could see me, I'm putting quotes around it, was volunteered to be the presenter on this. So Terry is the one that's going out and is out in the public. He made his first presentation on Friday at Friday Forum, and then there will be several more scheduled. So, all right. Well, thanks, Terry. And with that, we will throw this over to Lisa Beeman, who is going to describe the parks and recreation projects that we've got in this GO bond.
Good morning, all. Similar to what Terry had just talked about, all of the parks and recreation projects are just continuing the maintenance and upgrade of the existing facilities. So on the GO bond side, again, this is the portion that's paid with ad valorem taxes. We'd like to propose to do some lighting for Robinwood Park soccer fields. These would be the three soccer fields on the south side of Robinwood Park complex, which are just immediately north of Frank Phillips Boulevard. We found with the lighting of Daniels Fields that we're able to get more tournaments into the community, and with additional lighting we could even improve upon that. So that's one of our projects. We want to also continue to make improvements to the parking lots and the access roads in Johnstone Park, Sooner Park, Lee Lake, Joe Allen Lowe Park, Lion Park, and Douglas Park. So if you've been by the new Kitty Park, you'll see the improvements we made not only with the entrance into Kitty Park, but with the road improvements right there in front of Kitty Park and the extension of Pathfinder Parkway and in parking improvements. So we want to continue to do those same things in other parks. One of our other projects, probably one of the bigger ones, is to enclose two tennis courts in Johnstone Park. So if you know that area, we have four tennis courts at that location. It has always been in all of our park survey for needs, facility needs, going back to at least 1990 and even some before that, to have indoor tennis. And so while we've never been able really to provide an indoor tennis complex, we would like to go ahead and enclose two of those tennis courts so we could have indoor tennis for two tennis courts, and we would also be able to accommodate the indoor playing of pickleball, which is a growing sport across the country for all age groups. We also are going to add two basketball courts at Sooner Park. We don't really have any basketball courts in several of our major parks, so we're going to try to convert the former horseshoe pit into two basketball courts and also add what's called a gaga ball pit, which is kind of like dodgeball. It's played in a little area, so it's similar to dodgeball but in a smaller area where you push the ball with your hands. We would like to add a shelter at Douglas Park. Douglas Park is one of our most used parks and one of the only ones that does not have a shelter. We also would like to start to implement the bicycle plan that the council approved this year by adding and replacing some of the existing bicycle route signage. So those are the 70% projects out of the GEO bond. And then with money, the 30% project, the main one there, is to rebuild 9 of the 18 greens at Adams Golf Course. And so that's really one of our bigger projects as well. So those are the projects that we propose for the GEO bond.
And the greens, B, we've talked about that with Jody Shahan, mm-hmm. who's the golf course superintendent
right.
out there. And the greens, what's the age of most of the greens? I think all of them are over 40 to 50
yeah.
years old.
Yeah.
A green, I believe that the useful life of a green is supposed to be between 20 and 30
yeah,
years.
Right.
So we've certainly squeezed more
yes.
use out of those
right.
Than what was originally planned. The size of the greens has changed over time as the Bermuda and the fairways has sort of infiltrated it. So this project will restore those. I don't know that they're going to take them back to the exact size that they were in the original design. I know that there's some discussion about they'll get more mm-hmm. use for their money if
right.
they go ahead and keep the smaller green size that everybody is now used to,
right.
Since it's just occurred over a period of time. But the greens, this will make them much easier to maintain.
Right.
It will also make them a much easier surface to play on. So.
Right. I think that through the years, I think that golf course opened sometime in the 70s, early 70s maybe. And I think they've just done the best they could to maintain the greens and rehab them as they can go. But at this point, it's just actually a rebuild of 9 of the 18 greens. And so they'll be built back as original and, I mean, as new. So on the CIP portion of the election that also has parks and recreation projects, we're going to continue the downtown landscape improvements. I think we'll be on phase 3 of that. And then we always like to have money put in there for Pathfinder Parkway to continue maintaining it and repairing it. Pathfinder Parkway is obviously one of our most used park and recreation facilities. And so it's a wonderful facility, but it takes continual funding to maintain and repair it. Along that line, we would also like to, one of the 30% projects concerning Pathfinder would be to extend Pathfinder Parkway along Sunset by adding a pedestrian bridge and tying Oak Park in with the Pathfinder Parkway system. At each of the pools, Frontier and Sooner, we want to do an epoxy repair of the liner, and also to replace some of the shade structures that are there. Those are wonderful shade structures, but they do have kind of a short life cycle. So over time, they get weathered, torn up, ripped and torn, and so we need to replace some of those. We are also looking to add a basketball court at Oak Park at what is known as the Eddie Mason Park or Panther Park. There used to be a tennis court in that area, and we're going to replace that with a basketball court. I know that would be a much-used facility for that neighborhood. And then we're going to continue to do other things with the 30% money, including adding additional security lighting in the parks. That's been one of our issues with our parks. We feel like we can improve the security lighting in those parks. So that's some of the other things we're trying to do. But again, all these projects that we're doing with park and recreation is just to maintain and, where possible, upgrade the facility. So we have funding in here as well for life cycle replacement of the playground wood mulch. People would be just really surprised at how much that costs, because in order to meet the federal law, we have to have a certain depth of mulch in there. It's oftentimes The minimum is something like 6 inches. And so you have to keep that depth for fall purposes. So we always have to continually replace that wood mulch. And we also have some funding in here to replace some of the park amenities like the water fountains, the park benches, the picnic tables, just things like that that have a certain life cycle, and it becomes time to replace them at some point. So those are the park projects, and if anybody has any questions about them, we'd be happy to answer them. You're welcome to call me, and I'll discuss those with you at 338-4237. Or again, we're happy to come out and talk to any groups about those. Mike.
So I think that Terry stated it pretty well. The sort of the theme of this election, and of course, in the last election, we had some really big projects. We had a large project for Price Fields. We had a large project for the Tower Center. This GO bond, it compiles a whole lot of things, especially as it comes to park and recreation. This really is improving the conditions of the parks that we have. I think that we have incredible parkland and we have great park amenities. It just doesn't always look like what we want it to look like. I think as you drive out and you see the condition of the roads and the parking, we have a number of gravel parking lots. We've talked about all of those. There's some of them at Joe Allen Low. Just about almost all of our parks, you could find an area to where we have just an area that's been graveled in for parking. This will address all of that. We want those parks to look like the facilities that we know they are. And Lisa talked about Johnstone. It has a great entryway right there where you have the kiddie park. It's a great facility, but it doesn't always look that way as you drive through there. The condition of the road, I think, Terry, we've talked about it. That is actually a road that was constructed by city crews probably over 20 years ago in its current condition, and it's just kind of been patched on since then. So it's definitely time to address these issues, but all of these things are rather, I guess they're, I hesitate to say boring, but maybe they are just a little bit boring, but that's okay. These are all great projects that are necessary for the improvement of our parks and of our community. And you'll find that as we go through this over the next couple of weeks, a majority of this money will be put into streets and also into the bridges. The city of Bartlesville owns, I think, probably it would be about six different bridges across the city of Bartlesville, and all of those are invested or they inspected biannually, and so there's some bridge conditions that we're going to have to address. We have Terry. Do you off the top of your head? Do you remember the lane miles or the number of miles of road?
I think we have like 350 lane miles worth of road in Bartlesville.
So these are all things that require continual maintenance and upkeep. A majority of the funding to provide that continual maintenance and upkeep comes through this election for the GO bond and for the capital improvement sales tax. So we've always been very grateful to our community that they have the trust in the city of Bartlesville and in the staff that they have approved these things. I think the GO bond we talked about, B, that dated back before you got here. So it actually goes back, I believe, into the 1980s. The voters have been approving this in some form or another. The sales tax came on, was that?
I think it came on either in the late 80s or early 90s. It was actually at that time used to pay GO bonds, which was really not a very efficient way of getting the maximum amount of projects for your money. So in 1999 was the first time we went to a pay-as-you-go system, and that has allowed us, together with GO bonds, to really maximize our ability to do public infrastructure.
And cities are very limited in our funding for these types of capital projects, so this is one of the ways in which we do it. And if you drive through a community and it just doesn't look like it's maintained very well, they probably don't have the benefit of these programs that the citizens have approved in Bartlesville. So this is a huge part of what we do, and we're very thankful to the voters, and we hope that once again they'll turn out in April.
All righty, and we'll catch everybody here the next time around on City Talk. Thank you for coming in on this Monday.
Thank you, Tom.